This is James Corbett of the Corbett Report. It's the 23rd of October 2009, and joining me today is Stephen Jacobson, a graduate of the Boston University School of Communications who spent 13 years in the film industry as a production manager and an editor. He left the industry to begin researching the issue of mental programming and deprogramming after being given the results of private medical research on the issue, and his website is mindcontrolinamerica.com. Stephen, it's great to have you on the program today.
Well, thank you, James. It's my pleasure to be with you, especially to talk about such an important subject that affects each and every one of us, whether we are consciously aware of it or not.
Well, that's exactly it. But before we get into that subject, I guess this is your first time on the Corbett Report, so let's go over your background and establish your credentials a little bit. Why don't you tell us about your experience in film and media?
Sure. As you mentioned, I had studied at Boston University and then worked in the film industry for 13 years in different capacities, but primarily as a film editor. And working as a film editor, it was easy to see how simple it is to change the meaning of an event or to change the meaning of what people say through simple editing. And so I was very well aware of how plastic and moldable media reality is, but I didn't fully appreciate the extent to which we are all manipulated and controlled by the mass media, even those people who work in it, until I was given the results of private medical research investigating programming and deprogramming. And when I studied that material, I saw what the implications were, and it eventually led to my leaving the career that I was pursuing to investigate this whole issue of mind control and mental programming and manipulation. We live in a controlled environment, a virtual reality where very few people realize the extent to which we are manipulated and controlled by unseen forces. In fact, I would go as far to say that our society is the most manipulated and controlled society in history because of the programming and conditioning we all undergo through both the mass media and public education. Now, I'm sure most of your listeners are familiar with George Orwell's prophetic book, 1984, in which he warned that people were in danger of losing their freedom of mind without being aware of it while it was happening because of psychological, emotional, and intellectual manipulation, mind control. Well, 1984 arrived unnoticed in America because people were conditioned not to notice. We were born into this situation. We were born into a system of lies and deception, and that makes it so much more difficult for people to see through it. The majority of the population considers this to be a normal set of circumstances, and it is anything but that.
That's exactly right. And that's a key point, because people are programmed in a way to respond to certain ideas and certain words in certain ways. So even using the term mind control can cause some people to roll their eyes in disbelief. But I guess in this case, it's important to stress that this is not hocus pocus. We're talking about documentable effects backed up by reams of scientific study and documentation.
Absolutely. In fact, the mind control issue is not anything new. It's ancient. The difference today in so-called modern society is the technology that allows for the implementation of these ancient principles and techniques on a massive scale to influence the thinking and behavior of large numbers of people. The techniques of hypnotic programming are ancient. They arise out of religion. And the use of these techniques to condition and program people. There isn't much difference between primitive man sitting around a campfire telling stories about how society works and what's right and wrong. Not much difference between that and modern man sitting in front of the flickering light of a television set watching stories that are doing exactly the same thing. Telling people how society works, what's acceptable and unacceptable behavior, and what's right and wrong. So storytelling is the oldest means of transmitting information in society. In fact, the arts, whether it be drama, writing, storytelling, music, are a delivery system for propaganda. Entertainment, for many people, they consider it innocuous, that it's not so important. But it is because of that they don't realize the extent to which our culture and society is molded by these influences. Now, television, I'd like to use that as and it's an excellent illustration about how mind control works, what the principles are, and the techniques. Television is by far the most powerful weapon of psychological warfare in history. Now, most people don't think of television as a weapon because it has become a member of the family in so many households across the country. For many people, it's their primary source of news, information, entertainment. After a hard day's work, people come home tired and plop themselves down on their sofa or favorite easy chair, turn the television on, you grab the remote, turn it on, and then the mind goes on hold. And that's where the problem is. If you think back to when you have observed young children or older adults sitting in front of a TV, you'll notice that they have this vacant, glassy-eyed look in their eyes. And we can even catch ourselves when we're watching television go into this state where we lose all sense of time and place. The reason for this is that television induces a hypnotic trance. The reason this is important is that the first objective for a propagandist or an advertiser is to create the conditions that will produce a state of mind that is favorable for the reception of their message. The optimal state of mind for doing that is the hypnotic state of mind. And television induces this altered state automatically, regardless of the content. Doesn't matter what the program is, because it is the very nature of the medium itself that induces the trance state. Now, hypnosis, the principles behind it are very simple, basic. The idea is to focus the attention of the conscious mind on one or more of the five senses. In the case of the visual media, TV, focusing the attention on hearing and on sight. A hypnotist will use his voice and speak in a hypnotic pattern, a patterned speech, to get the subject to lock on to the sound of the voice, and by doing so, the repetitive pattern clears the mind of all thought, so that the message gets through to the subconscious unimpeded. A propagandist or advertiser, they don't want people to think about the message and evaluate it and use their critical thinking and then make their decision about whether or not they're going to accept it. The whole point of programming is to bypass the critical thinking and analysis and speak directly to the subconscious mind. So in order to do that, the optimum tool is the hypnotic state of mind. And television throws people into that state automatically. And how it does that, it's the nature of the medium itself. The image flickers. We don't see the flicker consciously, but subconsciously the repeating pattern of that visual flicker induces the trance state. Now, sometimes if you're driving at night or desk, you see a kind of blue flicker coming through people's living rooms where they have a TV on. That's a visual representation of this flicker effect. In old movies sometimes, it'd be a television in the background, and you'd see these black roll bars going up and down. That's because this flicker wasn't compensated for, and so the movie camera would pick up the flicker as that black line or roll bar going up and down. That's a visual representation of what's happening. The power of the medium was recognized right from the very beginning of its inception. Corporate America, government, advertisers knew what they had. They had an instrument for mass hypnosis to create a unified mindset in the population and thereby be able to speak directly to the subconscious. The whole point of programming is to build into the subject or the target population a conditioned response so that people will respond automatically to a particular idea or particular product without thinking about it, so that when they are presented with that piece of information again, then they respond automatically and again without thinking, thus bypassing all critical analysis. And so if we have the opportunity, if we're just being presented with raw information and then have the opportunity to think about it and decide whether we're going to accept it or not, then it gets cataloged in the memory banks of our subconscious that way, with that identification tag. The whole point of programming for a propagandist or advertiser is to bypass that so that they can put their identification tag on there and then trigger it at a later date. And that's why I'm sure many people have experienced buying something and then wondering later, well, why did I buy that? Or saying something and wondering later, well, why did I say that, or doing something, why did I do that? It's because of this mechanism having been triggered, and we're not consciously aware of it. People don't generally think about the things that affect them subconsciously because generally they are not aware of what to look for. And so when people become aware of how programming works, then they can be more aware. But got to keep in mind that these things are acting on us on a physiological basis. So we're still, even though we may know how it works, we're still going to be affected by it. The only difference is you can be aware and recognize it while it is happening, and then pull away from it.
So you say these effects were first discovered really at the birth of the medium itself. Is the implication then that TV was specifically developed as a tool for implanting messages and memes directly into people's minds?
I don't know if it was if it went that far, if it was done invented solely for that purpose. Certainly the implications for advertising were there right at the beginning. Because the principles of hypnosis are ancient, those in the positions of power and finance who put up the money for the development of this technology had to be very well aware of what they were doing. The techniques of hypnosis were used in the days of radio, where use of just the voice in a hypnotic pattern of speaking and the influence that it would have on the listening audience was well known. The famous radio broadcast, 1938, Orson Welles' War of the Worlds, rendition of H.G. Wells' War of the Worlds. People actually thought that New Jersey was being invaded by Martians. And it caused panic throughout the country. People, some people died. The reason why that happened is that it was presented as a news broadcast with your anchor person. Outside experts were brought in to comment on what was supposedly happening in real time. Even back then, people had been conditioned, as they are conditioned today, to accept the format of the news broadcast as the means, acceptable means by which we receive true and factual information. If you notice, the pattern of speaking for the news broadcaster is very similar to the hypnotist. It doesn't matter if the broadcaster is black, white, Hispanic, Oriental, the ethnic background doesn't matter. They have a particular way of speaking, a pattern of speaking that is associated with how the news is to be presented. It's a hypnotic pattern of speaking. The news broadcaster looks directly into the camera and into the eyes of the viewer, which is another hypnotic technique. The beginning of your newscast has, you have graphics, moving graphics, a repetitive pattern of not only a visual pattern, but you have the musical jingle that is a repetitive pattern. These are techniques to not only maintain hypnotic state and induce it, but also to deepen the hypnotic state. So you get a number of things going on. The nature of the technology itself throwing the viewer into hypnotic trance, the repetitive techniques, visual and audio techniques that are used to deepen that state and to maintain it. The electronic media, television, is literally plugging into our nervous system. We have been conditioned in how to view the world. The quick cutting patterns that were developed in TV commercials and in music videos, the quick cuts from one angle to another, causes corresponding changes in the chemical electrical response of the brain. And what that does is release endorphins that have a drug-like effect on the body. And what this is doing is the release of the endorphins causing a physiological addiction to watching the TV. Example of this would be attention deficit disorder. Prior to television, you never heard of anything like this. But if you notice, when children watching, young children watching TV, they're sitting motionless, fixated on that, on the screen. And when they're away from the TV, when it's off, they're fidgeting, trying to focus their attention. It's because they're looking for the same kind of fix that they're getting from the TV, and they have all this nervous energy. And it's an illustration of how the medium is literally plugging into our nervous system. There's an extreme example of this that you may remember from years back in the late 90s. I think it was 1997. More than 700 children had to be hospitalized in response to watching a TV cartoon. This happened in Japan. It was the Pokemon cartoon that was very popular in this country. And what happened was that strobing flashes of light pulsated from the eyes of one of the cartoon characters, and it caused epileptic-like seizures in some of the children who were watching, causing other physiological responses, nausea in other children. And again, it was reported all over the world what had happened, and yet USA Today newspaper reported the same event with an interesting headline. It says, U.S. kids safe from cartoon seizures. And then it goes on to say, parents need not worry. American children aren't likely to suffer seizures provoked by TV cartoons. In other words, what USA Today was saying, and the corporate interest behind that national newspaper, what they were saying was, America, go back to sleep. Everything is all right. Don't think. Just sleep. And that's what happened.
That's exactly right, and it's basically trusting the people who have put this system into place that they're going to be using it in your best interests, which I think my listeners can decide for themselves whether that's a good idea. But well, let's back up for a moment and think about the research that led you into this. So what kind of research did you receive, and who was that conducted by, and how did you come into possession of it?
Yes, my father was a hypnotherapist. And he was doing medical research for more than 20 years and developed an audio that doctors at one time wrote prescriptions for their patients to have to aid in the treatment of different health problems, physical problems, psychological, emotional problems. For example, people who were suffering from different respiratory ailments, emphysema, asthma, a patient with only one lung and limited breathing capacity. It was a relaxation conditioning audio that would help the listener, guide the listener into deeper and deeper relaxed states, something that is natural to us as children, knowing how to be comfortable and relaxed. But because of the being hypnotized just by the pressures of life, people's breathing capacity has been restricted, and people are not using their full breathing apparatus. And so breathing is very shallow, and people are under a lot of stress, tension, and anxiety, which is a major factor in all health problems. And so and they don't realize that they're so uptight because they've been so uptight for so long that they're considering it to be normal for themselves. the audio would help, would guide the listener or this patient into more relaxed states, and thereby the breathing pattern would change. And not only that, but the verbal content of the program itself was designed to aid in dissolving, dissipating negative programming that had been accumulated over the years, and to replace it with a positive health-based program, soliciting or eliciting the aid of the subconscious to do that, to aid in that process of replacing a negative programming with a positive programming. So he had, back in, this is back in 1980, he called me. I knew about his work. I was working in New York City at the time as a film editor. And he at that time, he had some health issues, and there was question about how much time he had, and so he wanted to see me, and then asked me if when I went to see him, brought me up to date on the work, and wanted to know if I wanted to pick up on it and was interested in carrying it further, and knowing what my interests were as far as my work in media. And I was interested. I saw the implications. I read the research. I used the tape myself in a very methodical, regimented way, so I could know firsthand the effects of it. Studying that material was a major factor in my leaving the film business and to investigate this whole issue of mind control and mental manipulation. Now, at the same time, people were always giving my father information, sharing things. He was doing work, taking cases that doctors had given up on, patients were showing remarkable improvement as with his techniques and his and the use of the audio tape, and whether they could pay for it or not, that wasn't the issue. Sometimes it was on a barter basis. People would just, if they didn't have anything, they'd pay in food, whatever they could, and so it was well liked and. People to give him information, and a couple of books he received, he passed on to me. This was around the same time. One was Gary Allen's None Dare Call It Conspiracy, a well-known conservative classic, and then a small booklet called The Occult Technology of Power. And I read them, and I was ready for them. I always knew that something wasn't right here, something askew, going back to even childhood. I was asking myself, what's really going on here? I don't understand. I know I don't understand, and I thought something was wrong with me because I didn't understand. I didn't get what I needed from public education. I went through all through public education, high school, and even college, and I get out of college. I'm still wondering, what is really going on out here? I don't know. How do I know that what they're telling me is true? So that allowed me to be open to consider anything out here, and so it was time for me to dig in and do my own homework and find out for myself. So the timing was right for me, receiving my father's research, receiving these books with an extensive bibliography, and I just dug in and I started getting books and buying, spending everything I had on acquiring information, seeing what was out here, getting information on all kinds of topics, psychology, economics, history, politics, religion, from all over the world, and some of it junk, but a lot of it helped open me up to seeing things from a much different perspective, and so I thought that I wanted to take the skills that I had developed over the years in my education and produce summary information that would be helpful to other people who either didn't have the inclination to do the research themselves or didn't have the time, and then to produce educational materials, and that's what I did. I had wanted to do it as a film, but didn't have the money to do that. And I did some writing, but I felt audio was a good means of transmitting the information. I could give examples. I could use the techniques, and so that the listener would have that as a frame of reference. And that's how the audio, the first one, Mind Control in America, came about. It's a summary of the mind control issue. It talks about the principles involved, the techniques. I use the techniques I talk about so that the listener has that as a frame of reference from which to recognize these techniques when they observe them being used. And then it places the whole issue into historical context and also spiritual context, because the whole foundation of what's happening here on this planet is spiritual. The mind is the gateway to the soul. That's why there's a mind control issue. It's really an attempt to retard or prevent the spiritual growth of the population. That's what the so-called powers that be are trying to prevent, so that they can maintain their death grip on the population and continue to pass control onto their children, and just the same old, passing on control, the reins of control, from one generation to the next. So it's a very tightly scripted program, music and sound effects, so it's interesting to listen to. And from the letters I've gotten from people all over the country, I know it's helped people understand more clearly what's going on out here. Now, Mind Control in America was followed by another audio. They're both available on cassette and CD. The follow-up is called Wake Up America, and that's about mind control as it applies to money and economics. The idea being that psychological warfare and economic warfare work together on a kind of a twin pincer movement to apply pressure to the population so that people don't know if they're coming or going, keeping people under stress and adding stress to people is a strategy of psychological warfare. Because when people are upset, whether they're angry or hating or encouraged to hate, or strong emotions like that makes people extremely vulnerable to manipulation, and they're not seeing things clearly when they're in a heightened emotional state. And so that deals with the issue of economics and money. And especially now with what we've been observing, what's happening, the trashing of the economy, both of the audios are very timely. Now, I also offer my father's audio, and that's called Personal Comfort Training. And this is special for all three as a package. The first two being the informational, dealing with the psychological warfare, mind control, and then the money issue, and then the relaxation conditioning and the work that my father was involved in. And the information on all these audios are on my website, mindcontrolinamerica.com. www.mindcontrolinamerica.com, and there is a link on there for extensive information on my father's audio. There is a separate website for that called personalcomforttraining.com, personalcomforttraining.com. But again, there's a link from the Mind Control in America website to that information. And I'm currently working on the next audio in the series to take it a step further. And no matter what work we may find ourselves doing, we're all involved in providing a service with no matter what it is that we do. But the bottom line is that we are to serve our fellow man, and this happens to be what I fell into, and what I feel privileged to be doing.
Well, just to be clear, these audio presentations are available as CDs or MP3 files, or how are they available on your site?
CDs, also audio cassette and CDs. Eventually, I'm going to make them available as audio files, but have not done that as yet. So right now it's just cassettes and CDs.
I see. And would you care to share anything about your forthcoming project and what that might be about?
Yes, Matt will focus, pick up where the Mind Control in America leaves off. It leaves off on the missing dimension in world politics, and that's the spiritual dimension, and it will focus on that, since that is really where the real action is, but it's kind of like leading up to it, setting the stage for it with the first two audios to get into that that aspect, the spiritual foundation of the problem.
Very interesting topics indeed, and I'm sure many of my listeners will be able to relate to your story of trying to find out the greater truths about what's being obscured in our mass media and in our public education system. And I'm sure many of my listeners have had a similar experience of trying to find those hidden truths. So I certainly hope people will go to mindcontrolinamerica.com and take a look around at some of the information and hopefully listen to some of the audio presentations as well. But I guess there's no easy way to summarize a topic like this, but I guess one note that we can end it on is taking a look at solutions to these types of mind control issues. And I guess other than the obvious suggestion of killing your television, which is one that I personally endorse, but I guess is there any other way to shield oneself from the effects of this or to at least lessen the impact of these mind control techniques?
Yes, there is. Meditation and prayer. There is a fine line, razor's edge distinction between the hypnotic state of mind and the meditative state of mind. In the hypnotic state of mind, one is not consciously aware, limited consciousness, one is not aware. It's a twilight state. It's almost, hypnotic state is like it's like when you're just waking up in the morning, drifting off into sleep. There's no mental activity going on. You're just there. You're just present. Meditative state of mind is similar, except you are in full awareness and full presence and fully in the moment. Quieting the mind. The fundamental problem for mankind is that we have misidentified ourselves as the physical body and as the mind. And we've been encouraged to do that. We've been encouraged to look upon success as the capacity to cater to our senses and gratify our senses with things, buy more, feel more with more relationships, better relationships, go to more places, better places. All these things are distractions. And also to think that that we are our mind. The body is an instrument. It's our possession. It's not who we are. And the same thing applies to the mind. We're spirit, and that's the great equalizer and the great connection between us all. That we have more power within us than we even realize. And the elitists, government historically has been a family affair, and then this ruling, each nation has its own ruling class that is the unseen hand, and oftentimes not so unseen, unnoticed, that is behind government, but and they transmit their power to family members from one generation to the next. They're materialist, and they encourage us. They want us to be materialist, and we're not going to fix our problems with Band-Aid measures by trying to put a Band-Aid here and there on the economy, or trying to fix tweak education here and there, and all these other different areas that make up our society and culture. The problem is basic and fundamental, and that is we don't know who we are, and until we know who we can know everything there is to know, information-wise, but if you don't know the one who knows, then you know nothing, in effect. And so our focus, rather than being directed outside of ourselves, has to be turned within for us to discover and realize who and what we really are. And then we'll know who God is, and we'll know and understand what our relationship to one another is, and realize the oneness of all being and how everything is connected and how we're all connected. And when people come to that realization, and they can only do that for themselves individually, there will be a great awakening and a spiritual revolution as a revelation. That's the only revolution that's really going to make any difference on the planet. And that's what the ruling class is afraid of, because they lose their power and control when that happens. There are more of us than there are of them. And if we start waking up, and many people are waking up because of the Internet and information that's available out here, but as more and more people turn within, the answers are within, because God lies within. And it's the great I am. That's the connection when we're silent, when no thought is going on, regardless of our culture, our language, dispense with all the words and just be present with just the moment in its clearness. That is the great connection between us all. And that's what we are. We're that presence. And that presence is eternal. So that's the last enemy to be conquered is death, and people are encouraged to be afraid of death, not realizing that birth and death apply only to the physical body. The body is born into this material world; it dies, but we're not the body, and so we're spirit, and spirit just is. It's like the Energizer Bunny. It goes on and on and on. And once having been, we never cease to be. So we're in that process. I mean, we're going through our civilization is going through the growing pains on the way to this spiritual revolution and realization and understanding of who and what we are. And we're part of that transformation. Everybody's going to go home, whether they like it or not, whether they cooperate with the program or not. If people will consciously get into alignment with that, then it can make it easier for themselves, or they can go kicking and screaming. But nobody's going to be left behind, unlike No Child Left Behind and the politicians' idea of how to pacify the population. But it's all good. What's happening here is meant for the ultimate good, the highest good for all mankind, including those who are trying so desperately to keep us enslaved, because the spark of divinity lives in them too, else they would not be. And in a world of duality, there has to be both. It's just the way things are, how this world is made up, and it's out of balance, and it's a matter of things, the pendulum swinging back and getting into balance, and that's why the great difficulties that we're experiencing, and that's why it's going to even be more difficult as time goes on. But it's a great adjustment that's occurring, and it's meant again for everybody's benefit, and it kind of takes this thing out of it. You know, you're eternal, spiritual being. You know that there's a purpose and reason for all this that's happening, then it makes it more endurable.
Well, that is an extremely powerful message, and I guess it's self-evident that if these mind control techniques and other manipulations are taking place on some other level than our conscious mind, then we have to be aware of ourselves on some other level than just our conscious mind. So definitely some very interesting points to ponder. Stephen Jacobson, throw out the website one more time.
Yes, the website is www.mindcontrolinamerica.com. www.mindcontrolinamerica.com.
Excellent. Well, Stephen Jacobson, thank you very much for joining me on the Corbett Report today.
And thank you, James. It's been my pleasure talking with you.